I'm certainly happy to be here this afternoon, be a part of this program. I count it a privilege to be asked to speak because I have been on the other end trying to arrange a program, and we do want to pick speakers that can edify the group, and so I feel privileged to be chosen. I feel a great blessing with this song service and the speeches we've had so far, and I brought a little toy along with me from home. My wife has had this toy hanging between our dining room and living room for some time. I really don't know why, unless it was because of the grandchildren. My subject this afternoon is every joint supplied. As I was in my study, I thought of this toy. A lot of joints there, all of them supplying something, making a very lively body. Is there anybody in the audience that remembers the song that used to be quite popular? The bone song, I call it. The head bone connected to the neck bone connected to the shoulder bone, went lower and lower, and then got down to the foot, the toe bone connected to the foot bone connected to the ankle bone, went back up. Does anybody can sing that for us? Mike, can you sing that? Anybody know that song? It's bothered me considerably since I've been studying this subject because of the bones being hooked together and forming the body. And I remember parts of it. It says, "Now hear the word of the Lord," but I can't remember the rest of it. Okay, I'd like to find that someplace. I went through all the records that I have, and it's not on any of our records. Psalms 139, 14th verse says, Psalmist David said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Our bodies are wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Or we would say, we know good and well. I'd like to hear more about those twins myself. I'm sure that these doctors are privileged. Somebody told me a while ago that possibly the doctors are sons. We have a son that's a doctor also. Experience more in a few weeks than we experience in a year as far as seeing some of the marvels of life. Greg, are you here? Tell us more about those twins. Did you think of God when you were delivering them? Aren't they a miracle? Aren't they wonderfully made? God is the creator. And I just rejoice that by the inspiration of God, we who are so feeble, so weak, and his creation can read his word and get some of the comparisons that God has made. He's taken the body, the human body, and says that the church is like a body. And we're wonderfully made, and the church is just as wonderful if we put it together like the Lord wants it. The church as the Lord would have it is what I'm going to talk about. Maybe not as it is in some places, but the church as the Lord would have it. First of all, I'd like to go to some of Paul's writings. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Pardon me, the 1st chapter, 22nd and 23rd verses. Everything has been put under Christ's feet. He's been made head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church, then, is the body of Christ. How many are there? 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and the 20th verse. But now are they many members, but one body. Ephesians 4:4 and 5. One, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Colossians 1:16-18. Christ made all things were created by Christ, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. This is Jesus. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist or exist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things He might have the preeminence. The body, physical body, is subject to the head. The church, which is the body of Christ, is subject to Christ as the head. The members are subject. Members of the church, we are subject to Christ. What I want to do is please my Redeemer. So many people are trying to please other people. First of all, we want to please the Lord. What the head commands, we can and must do. We could draw a body up here on the board and draw the different members of that body representing the church. There are many members. We have a relationship to Christ, which is subjection unto Him. We have a relationship to one another, member to member, as the members of our bodies have responsibility to other members. And the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians is one place that tells about all these things that I'm saying. These are not my ideas. These are inspiration of God. How great the body is and how it's made into one unit, and where there should be unity and harmony within the body, which is the church. Each member has his work, beginning with the 14th verse. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, behold, I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And it goes ahead and talks about the ear. If it all the hearing, where would be the smelling? It takes it all members of the body, to make a complete unit. Also in the 24th verse it says, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And that's the way it is with the physical body. There are parts of our body which are small compared to other parts. Maybe we don't really realize the functions of them and how important they are until we get them injured or until they have to be removed, and then we do. And so the body sympathizes with the members or the parts of the body that have to be removed. So it is with the church. We should be sympathetic. The Scripture teaches us to rejoice with those that do rejoice and weep with those that weep. How important is this? Well, it's just this important, that if you're not a part of the body of Christ, you can't be saved. Because Christ is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5:23. Christ is the Savior of the body, His body, the church. Without being in that church, you can't be saved. Praise the Lord that we're a part of that body. One Scripture tells us that there was no man born of woman greater than John the Baptist, not a greater prophet, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Whoever you are here today, you might think you're insignificant just because you're not occupying the pulpit up here or not leading the singing, but you're important, and you're greater than John the Baptist because you're fortunate enough to be in the kingdom or in the body of Jesus Christ. Whoa. I'm going to stop right here. Now, you folks have heard these things before, haven't you? I doubt if I've said a thing that you haven't heard before. I want to stop right here. When I was I always discuss my subjects with my wife. She gives me a lot of help. And when I told her what the subject was assigned, she sort of shook her head and she says, "Oh, we've heard that before." And it's helped me with my talk, just her comment. She says, "We've heard that lesson taught about the church being the body." We have, haven't we? And as I listened to the speakers this morning, I wondered how many of us heeded the subject on love and the admonition of how that we all fall short in our speech, and that we really, every lesson we hear, do we go home and practice that? I doubt if very many of us do. That's the reason that we have to teach on the same subjects again. But this afternoon, as far as you being a part of the body, I hope that you go away from here and put some of these things into practice that I'm going to say. We need to heed. We need to act on facts. Now, if I don't tell you facts this afternoon, I want to know about it. But if I'm pointing out facts to you, we need to heed. I mean by that, pay close attention. Not just listen. So many of us, we talk about the good meeting that we attended and the good sermon that we heard. Well, what did he talk about? I've forgotten. But it was a good one. Matthew, the 7th chapter, gives us a very elementary illustration of people that hear and don't do, and those that hear and do do. And we teach our children how to sing a song about that. Wise man built his house upon the rock, you know. And the rains descended, the floods came. And that house stood because it was on the rock. Another house was built on the sand. And when these trials came, it crashed. Why? Because Christ said, "He that heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened the man that built his house upon the rock." But those that hear and don't do are those that like build on the sand. How many of us are on sand? Do we hear the word of God, depart from great meetings such as this, and then don't do them? Yeah, we do many times. We need to heed. These houses, the scripture doesn't tell us they were any different. Might have been the same kind of a house. We might appear to be the same. The one building on the rock might appear publicly when we assemble to be the same as one building on the sand. The Bible doesn't say that they were different houses. They were built in different locations. The Lord knows our heart. We know whether we do what we heed or not. And usually our life will show it to others also. We must teach and preach God's plan over and over. I have an interesting part-time job. I teach people how to fly airplanes. And it's a funny thing how that you can tell a student over and over how to control that piece of equipment. And it just takes so many lessons, I guess, before it really sinks in. Just yesterday, a lady student of mine said, "There's an airplane." We were in the pattern at Lee Summit. And she says, "There's an airplane." I hadn't seen it. I complimented her on that, because the instructor's supposed to see it before the student. He wasn't in a very good pattern. The other pilot wasn't doing too good a job. Might have been a student, I don't know. But we got on the radio and we had to fly slowly to let the one ahead of us make the landing first. So one thing we have to teach our students is to get immediate slow flight. That's what I call it. Give me immediate slow flight. What we do there is to pull the throttle, put the carburetor heat on, pull the throttle, hold the nose up, maintain altitude, and fly that airplane just as slow as it can. We can fly along 40 knots, never fall out of the sky. So we had to do that. I was flying the airplane at the time, so I gave it slow flight, and we made it just fine. Number two, to land. I go out and teach students that, and I say, now here's what you have to do to fly slow. You have to control the altitude with power, and you have to control the airspeed with pitch. And the next time we go out to fly, I say, now, in order to fly slow, you have to control the altitude with power, and you have to control the airspeed with pitch. And about the 18th lesson, they say, well, why didn't you tell me that before? Told them over and over. And they finally got it. Hey, yeah, that's right. I can hold this altitude if I put more power in, or if I take it off. And if I pull that plane up, I can slow it down. Well, why didn't you tell me that before? I've told them over and over. It just sunk in that day. That's the way it is with us sometimes. We hear a lesson over and over. We've heard the lesson about the body, the church being compared to the body. Today, I hope it sinks in. I hope this is the 18th lesson that we heed. We need to heed. The 26th verse of that 7th chapter of Matthew says that we're foolish if we do not. My subject, as I said, was every joint supplying. I got some medical books out. I don't know whether Greg was guilty of this subject because of the physical body or not, but it's certainly biblical. I got some medical books out, and I looked up some of the joints that we have in our physical body. I can't even pronounce some of those words up there, so I'm not going to read the board. I put it on for your benefit. On the left-hand side, there are certain kinds of joints that we have in our physical body. The ball and socket joint, which the shoulder is one of those. Ball and socket, the hip is one of those. Then we have the hinge, which the elbow is a good example of that, or the knee. Then we have the pivot and saddle and what have you down there. All kinds of joints in our body. We have a nervous system. We have the bone structure that are all connected by joints. You know that joint there means joining together. So many of the scriptures in the Bible, the words we find in the Bible are defined by the scripture themselves. And we'll get to that pretty soon about what these joints are for. This word joint is used several times in the New Testament. One place in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Also, it's found in Colossians 2:19, which is ties right in with what we have in Ephesians. Colossians 2:19 says, and not holding the head, and the head is Christ, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourished, ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Joints knitting the body together. And then, of course, in Ephesians 4:16, which we want to look at right now. Ephesians 4:16, let's start with the 15th verse. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. The Lord expects us to grow up, mature, and he tells us that by scriptures that says that we are to be perfect as our Father is in heaven. Christians are to be perfect individuals, mature. Paul says to the Ephesian brethren, grow up by speaking the truth in love. Grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, and compact by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the church is made up of members. Every one of them, every one of us, being important, and every one of us having a function, every one of us having some talent to give to the Lord. What is talents? What are talents? Well, in the parable of the talents, Christ was speaking about a measure of weight, talent. we think of that it's coincidental that our word talent means we can use the same word there and get a great heavenly message out of it, and that is that the Lord has given us certain natural abilities or power, and everyone has some talent. Now, we have different amounts of talents. We have different talents, of course. We all can't do the same thing. Let's name some of the talents that the Lord has given in His body. One is the talent of organizing. And it looks like somebody's done a good job so far on this meeting. Organizing. He has given some the ability to teach. He has given some ability to preach. Some the ability to sing. Sound like a lot of ability to sing here today. He's given some people ability to draw. Happened in the church building at home one day this week, and there was one of our young brethren in there with his felt pen working up his diagram for his lesson this morning. It looked like he'd had rubber stamp letters. It was so neat that it looked like he just stamped it out, but he was doing it freehand. Lord giving him wonderful ability, artistic ability. He's given some the ability to visit. Some people just have the ability to have a general conversation. If they never saw you before, they can sit down and just find out what you're interested in. Of course, that's important. Be interested in the other person. Just talk with them maybe for a half hour, never saw them before. Some people have that ability. About 3 weeks ago, my wife was in the hospital down in Kentucky on a trip we were taking, and there was a young lady came in the room one day. We'd never seen her before. Beautiful young lady. She came in and wanted to know if... I said, Irene Turner, yes. Well, she says, I'm from the Church of Christ here in Glasgow. I just wanted to come in and say hi. And she just asked us a few questions, not very many. Sat down a while and talked. My wife was quite ill. She didn't stay long. I thought that was wonderful. The Lord had given her a great ability to go around the hospitals and just say hi. We know you're in here. We hope you get well soon. There is an ability that she had. Outstanding lady. Never saw her before. She didn't stay very long. We have specialized talent in the church. We're going to see some of it here in this meeting. We've already seen it. Brother Mike, is that your profession, music? No. We need to use men like this. And I'm glad to see that Mike's here for 2 weeks. I feel that the church in some locations is minimizing good singing. The pendulum sort of swings, it seems to me. For a few decades, we talk about the music. We try to get good singing. Then pretty soon, I've lived long enough, I've seen the decade swings. Then it goes over to where, oh, the music isn't important. It's just the words. If you know what you're saying, well, that's important. You don't want to spend too much time on music. I think we need a happy medium. And I wish I could be here to take in the singing. We have historians in the church. Specialized talent that we need to tap. We have researchers that get interested in a certain subject and they research it. We need to use those people in the body of Jesus Christ. How do we find out what talents we have? There's only one way. That's to do it. Can you think of anything? Any talent that you might have or somebody else might have that there isn't doing connected with it? You have to do something. Now, maybe not vocal, but don't you have to do? Isn't there action? But you have to act. You know your talents by doing it. Well, some can't do some things. Everybody can't do everything. Last Wednesday evening, we had a visitor at home. He was from out of state, and he happened to have my seat. I got there later than he did. But he was nice enough, he scooted over and I sat there. But I was sorry that I did, because he just ruined my singing. That man, poor soul, he cannot sing. And he sings loud. I said he couldn't sing, and I said he sang. He made a loud noise all through every song. And I never had such a battle in my life. I just gave up part-time. Because he was a lot louder than I was, and he was making every one of them wrong. Now, I appreciated him being there. But the Lord didn't give him the talent to sing. I'm not saying he shouldn't try, but he just ruined my service, that part of it. Now, not too many people can do that, but he did. Now, as far as joints are concerned, I've got a joint here on my right leg that I, you know, most of you people can lift your foot up. I'm trying. I can't lift that right foot up because it's diseased. It was at one time. And that joint there won't function. So I don't care how many foot races I'd want to contend in. I can't run. I don't have that talent, see. Physically, I don't have. I remember a brother one time, was a member of a congregation where I was, that he could sell Watkins products, but he couldn't preach. But he thought he could. And he wanted to. And he became angry because the leaders would not put him on the program. Poor soul, he's gone now. But he didn't realize his talents. He thought he could preach, and he couldn't. He couldn't edify anybody in the pulpit. He couldn't express the thoughts. He was a good Christian man. And he could do a lot of things, but he couldn't preach. He couldn't teach us anything. He just couldn't get his words, he couldn't get his thoughts into words. And the leaders knew it, and they didn't put him on the program. And he became very upset on that. Everybody can't do everything. But sometimes we sort of work it that way with the church. We put most anybody on for a talk. Put a person up to direct the singing when they don't even know music, you know. The Lord doesn't expect everybody to do everything. There are individual responsibilities, though, that we need to find out what our talents are. We can't by saying, I can't do that. We have a little system at home where we hand out slips of paper once a month to the male members to see what they'd like to do to serve the Lord that month publicly. And that works a little. It's not perfect by any means because we feel that some do not put down what they're capable of doing. And others, like this brother, we have to sort of screen it. They want to do a little more than what we feel that they're capable. But it's a start. But we will not learn our talents if everything somebody asks us to do, we say, well, we can't do that. Can't do it. Never did it. That's like the grandchildren coming over. And they say, my wife's got rhubarb pie or something. And they say, well, I don't like that. Well, did you ever have rhubarb pie? Oh, no. But I don't like it. Or whether it's tuna casserole or whatever it might be. I don't like it. They never tasted it. That's the way people are in the church sometimes. Will you do this for the Lord? Well, no, I can't. I never did. There's a lot of potential in the Church of Christ to do personal evangelism, but it's not being done because people say, oh, I never did that. They think that's for the preacher or for the elders. But there's a lot of us, a lot of people that have that potential, but they're not fulfilling it. They're not using the talent the Lord has given them. We need as individuals to prepare for participation. I picked up a lot of good thoughts today. One that's real strong, and that is Hebrews 10:24-25. That we need to come to service, worship, to see what we can give, not what we can get. So, how do we know what talents we have? Well, one way we are to prepare for participation. We need to volunteer for jobs in the church. People, some members don't even attend business meetings, so they can volunteer. Isn't it wonderful? And I've experienced this some when members come up and say, I'd like to do so and so. Oh, volunteers. That's wonderful. Now, there's a leadership responsibility also for talents. Individual responsibility, and then there's leadership. One is to involve every joint. Leaders, elders, we need to involve every member of the congregation. I have a list here of 90 different things that can be done in the public service. We think of that usually first, but that's not all. That's just a part of the work of the Lord. Preach, lead the singing, read the scriptures, make announcements, take care of the contribution or the money. Then there's the educational part, weekend Bibles, or weekday Bible studies, teacher training, leadership training, evangelism, personal evangelism, correspondence courses, benevolent work, visit the sick, shut-ins, in the jail, transportation, office work, church bulletin, tracts, supplies, purchasing supplies, tape library, and other things such as repairing psalm books, maintaining the building, keeping the lawn groomed, on and on and on. There's not a one of us that don't have some of these abilities. And don't think you're not important, because you are, according to the scripture. And if you aren't working, then maybe it's your leadership's fault. Tell you what we do at home sometimes. We have an annual job list. I forget how many is on it now. And we have a job description for each one of them. And at the beginning of each year, we have volunteers to sign up for those jobs. There's 20 or 30 jobs. But beyond that, when that's signed up and the teachers for the years are picked and so on, we take a sheet of paper and list all the members on the left-hand side. And then we put the months across the top, and we check down through that membership list and see how many jobs each member has. And say, it's shocking sometimes when there's no member that has any check, not involved. Leaders, we need to involve every member of the church in something, in some type of work. They need to be involved. That's the Lord's plan. So there's many ways that we can do this. Another thing that we need to be concerned about is looking to the future and preparing future leaders for the church. There's a lot of joint diseases in the church. Rheumatism, arthritis. Arthritis is an inflammation of the joints, or of a joint or joints, and rheumatism is pains in the joint, but there is a chronic disease which they call rheumatoid arthritis. And what that is, it's characterized by inflammation, by stiffness, and often by deformity of the joints. I saw a sister the other day, and her fingers were all drawn crooked. It's arthritis, chronic disease. We have that in the church because the joints aren't exercised. We don't have our talents exercised. And what happens? We don't have enough foresight, and pretty soon we have two elders go on 15 years in a congregation. Everything seems to be going fine, but you know, we all get older, don't we? One man dies. There we have one elder, which we don't have any scripture for. One elder being over a congregation. And all of us get older, and so we get arthritis to the point, or we can't function. I've heard people say, well, that elder is so old that he can't function in the office. And that's true. That'll happen to all of us unless we die suddenly, I suppose. So we need to watch out for these joint diseases and prepare for the future. Look forward to have leaders prepared when they're needed. Well, I'm not through, but I'm going to quit. I've said most of the things I wanted to. I hope that we do get the main thought here, that we are joints and we make up the body of Jesus Christ, and every one of us are needed. If you aren't working, go to your leaders and say, I'd like to function more in the church. And if you want to know what your talents are, just try and doing some of the things that you think you can do and see if you have that talent. Now, I haven't ridden a horse for years, but the other day I had a chance. They had to beg me, and I finally got on a horse and rode it, and I really enjoyed it. Rode it for several miles. See, I didn't know whether I had that talent. Last time I rode one, I think it went like this, and the saddle and beat like that. But this time we got along better. I think I'll ride a horse again.